Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to the Mac Effect. Here again with another special guest that I want to interview. You guys have heard me speak about her many, many times, but allow me, guys, to introduce to you an exceptional woman who has earned her bachelor's in science in biology from the University of California. She has obtained her master's in pastoral counseling, her doctor of education in counseling and community, both from Liberty University. She is an ordained minister from the Assemblies of God. She is the founder of Breath of Life. Breath of Life is an organization that strives to lead hurt people to hope in their heart, in their mind, body, and spirit. Through Breath of Life, she offers professional Christian counseling, coaching, mentorship, and speaking through the United States, Canada, Latin America, Europe, and Asia. Guys, it is my honor, my privilege to introduce to you Dr. Tanya Paniagua.
Thank you.
Did I do good?
Wow, you did. That sounds so formal.
Trying.
And I just really like to be known as Tanya, a woman after God's own heart.
Oh, man. This is, now you guys know, if you guys have seen, your husband did the exact same thing. So it's crazy to know that, you know, being humbled and, yes, reaching accolades is good and it's necessary because it's growth and development, but it's not what defines us.
Absolutely.
So this is awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. Guys, just to share a little bit, everything that I have shared in the Mac Effect in the past, as far as mentorship and counseling, well, now you guys are seeing her in livid color. She is one of the reasons why you see a man here in front of you who has grown, developed, matured, still working on it, not perfect, discovered last week. Inner child that is still trying to come out and trying to heal, but we're here. But the reason why I wanted to interview her is because I have met you in a level where I know who Tanya is as far as what she does. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to show the viewership a little bit about the history of Tanya. Like, if you don't mind, just to begin, and then we'll dig deeper.
Absolutely.
But your background, you know, where does Tanya come from?
Yes. So Tanya, me, I was born in New York. My parents are from Colombia, and I was born in a very Colombian home. They would say, in my home, it's Colombia, and outside is the United States.
Interesting.
Culture, language, I'd get in trouble and get grounded if I spoke English in the house. So it was very much like that. At 4 years old, we moved here to California, and I've been living in California ever since. I was born into a very dysfunctional family. My mother was a teen mom. My father is 8 years older than her, and she, you know, did the best that she could. But I did see a lot of domestic violence and drinking, and my mom just really broken. And I'm the oldest from my mom, but we are six siblings in total. And my baby brother, or my brother, is
Which one are you from the six?
The second.
Okay.
But the first oldest from my mom. So there was one before. I was in, before my mom was in the picture, but then I came into the picture, and then after that, there was two from a different woman, and then one from another woman, and then my brother, my little brother. So my mom went through a lot of hell growing up. So growing in that very dysfunctional family, didn't have the language for it. I just always felt like I was a black duckling in the family, like I didn't belong, like something was off. I always felt things were my fault. Now I understand a lot of the things that my parents tried to do to make me feel loved are the very things that hurt me. And I have language for it now. But I then, it didn't push me to drugs or alcohol, but it really pushed me to find a savior. And at 11 years old, I fell in love with a 15-year-old. And I was developed at a very young age. I went through puberty when I was 9. So at 11 years old, I looked like I was 15. Wow. So when I meet him, he was just everything that my father wasn't in my eyes at that moment. He made me feel like the princess. I remember I just fell in love with him at 11 years old. At 13 years old, I lost my virginity to him. I went to prom. He picked me up in, I remember I was basically in my PJs. And by the end of the night, I was a beautiful princess. And he took care of getting all of that done. And he was also very broken. At 15, I get pregnant. And at 16, I married him. And then here I am trying to still be an adult, a mother, a wife, an adult while I'm still a child coming from a very dysfunctional family. So during that time, before I actually get pregnant, like back in when I was 14, because I always felt there was such a tension and they didn't understand me and they didn't understand the fact that I wanted to be with this relationship, I took a whole bottle of pills because I wanted to kill myself. And it's only by God's grace that I'm alive today. So I'm sharing that because all of that is the background and the heart behind why Breath of Life exists.
Yeah.
So at 16, I get married. My son is born with a lot of medical issues. He had open heart surgery when he was 2 months old. He had a massive water on his spinal column that he was going to cause him to be paralyzed. And he almost died with a rotavirus when he was 6 months old. And I share all that because I'm a senior in high school with all of those medical issues. And so I carried a book bag on one shoulder and a diaper bag on the other. And one of the things that helped me stabilize myself now that I know what all of the language is that I really was a very good student. And so academics was the very thing, like, don't look at my mistakes, just look at all my accolades. Like, look at that, I can do this. I'm not going to be another Hispanic woman on welfare, you know, teenage mom on welfare. I'm going to do something with my life. So my high school, my senior year, I found favor before a high school counselor, and he was just fascinated with the fact that I did not want to give up. So I did independent study for 6 months, and then my second semester, I said, I just need to graduate. I need to get on that platform and prove to my family that I could do this. So my senior year, I went up. My son was going to be a year old, and I went up with him in front of the entire school. And this was back 32 years ago when teenage pregnancy wasn't such a big deal. And I went up to receive the most scholarships, and I got a full ride to UCI where I wanted to be a doctor. And then I graduated and then went into that, got a full ride, did all of that. Had a lot of very unhealthy, I mean, everything about my relationship with my first husband was very unhealthy. I was overcompensating, or daddy issues, mommy issues. He had issues. And then at 21, I come to meet the Lord. And that really changed my life in a way that now I really do have a savior that's not this man. However, I didn't know how much trauma I was carrying with me. So it just translated. It went from all of this chaos in the world to now bringing it into the church. And so I wanted to be involved in every single area of the church, because that was, if I could put a Band-Aid on it and get involved, then I wouldn't really have to look at myself in the mirror and see how broken I really was. So my husband follows me. We start serving in church. And then at 26 years old, he starts to have an affair with my best friend in ministry. And I didn't find out for a whole year. So I didn't find out until I was 27. I was having Bible studies at home. And he would come in, or she would come in and help me and be with me and everything. And she would share with me about her issues with her husband. But she failed to say that she was sleeping with my husband. So by this time, I have a 5-year-old and I have an 11-year-old. And so I didn't have the courage to kick him out of the house because that's all I knew. I didn't know if it was biblically okay to kick someone out of the house. Like, I didn't know very much, and I didn't have much support. So I wanted to restore, but my first husband didn't want to restore. He slept in another room for 3 months, and then after that, I found out that he was still with her. And so then I finally got the courage, with my grandmother being so, so key in helping me pack all his stuff and throw him out. And then I started a journey on as a single mom. When I did that, my 5-year-old daughter became suicidal. She said, if my dad is not at home, I don't want to live anymore. So she would run around screaming and wanting to kill herself and unbuckling her seatbelt and from her car seat to jump out of the car. And she would just go into these big fits. And then I realized that my depression was feeding her depression, and we had to go through that whole cycle. I mean, I would have to drag her to school every day, and she didn't want to go. It was a big show. And that was when I was really first introduced to counseling for her. Yeah. And I took her to a therapist. It helped her a little bit. But I didn't really have much support for myself. And then, so we go through all of that. She finally gets better. And then by this time, like a few months after that, I meet Rudy. And when I meet Rudy...
How long were you divorced for?
I was not divorced.
Oh, so you were still in the process.
I was in the process. I had been already 7 months or 6 months separated. Separated, but no healing. Okay, so I was very scared about even going out or doing anything because I just wanted to be a good mom, and that's all I was trying to do. So finally, my mom's like, go find yourself, go do something. And so I went to one of my friend's birthday parties, and it was like at a bar and grill where you have like dinner and then you have some dancing. And I just really wanted to dance. I just wanted to like enjoy myself. And then Rudy comes in, and Rudy comes in with his cousin. And I really believed that I still love the Lord. I love the Lord. I was questioning a lot of things because I was serving him, and why would he allow this? But I really love the Lord. And when he came to me, or he came to our group, I was like, hey, you're new, like we should dance. But I wasn't trying to pick up on him. I was just thought like, hey, innocently, I came here to dance. Well, little did I know that you don't say that to someone who's a single man. So I never was in the dating game. So I never knew anything. Like I said, I was married at 16 years old. So he thought that I wanted to pick up on him. And that night he told me he wanted to get married. And so I said, God's going to bring you the perfect woman. And then from there, I go through a whole other trajectory of issues, because now I'm transferring all of this trauma and pain into this relationship. And then he has his. And so then shortly after, maybe like 5 months after, we really start getting serious about like what it could look like if we get married.
And Rudy wasn't married before.
Rudy wasn't married before, yeah. And he didn't know God or any of that. Like I was just two different people. And but I came, when I met him that night, I came with that preset mindset, or that mindset of nobody's going to want me because I have children. So that night that he asked me out, he's like, well, let's go out. I'm like, no, you have no idea like what's behind me. And he's like, how many kids do you have? And I'm like, how do you know I have kids? And I said, six. And I said six to scare him off. So if I could scare him off, then I was good. But he said, he's like, no. Like, I still am very interested in you. And so I said, well, if he's crazy enough to take me with six, he'll take me with two. And right there, I had a mindset of like, I'll just settle. I don't even know him, but if he's okay with my mess, then I'll just go into this relationship. And so fast forward, we start to date. And then he says to me, by this time, he now has been going to church. He accepted the Lord. And he's like, well, we should live together. And I knew that I wasn't supposed to. I mean, I had written all this in my journal, and I felt like, how could I show this as an example to my kids? But I compromised and I said, yeah, sure. And I didn't let anybody know. Only my parents knew. And my parents were okay. As long as I was happy, they were going to be happy. They didn't even care about morality or anything. They just wanted us not to be depressed. So he comes and we start playing house, and my 11-year-old son comes up to me and he says, Mom, you are fornicating. You are sleeping with him and you're not married.
My goodness.
And I said, no, nothing's happening, mijo. Like, everything is fine. Like, we're just sharing a room. And even to my son, I was lying. So then we get engaged. The kids are excited. My cousin comes in and at our engagement party and starts being chismosa in our room and finds out that I have a new bedroom set and that I have his clothes in the closet. So the next day she invites me to dinner and she's like, what are you doing? What kind of example? Like, and now I can't lie to her. She's not my son, right? And she's like, you are a woman of God. You have morals. You have your convictions. Where did that go out? You know, why did you throw that away? So I went home and I told Rudy, well, you got to go. I can't do this anymore. Had this crazy idea that we should get married by the court and formalize it and stop living in sin and then have conversations with our children and with the pastor about what we had been doing and like start fresh. And that's what we did. And everything seemed to be okay. And then we got married by the church and then all hell broke loose. And I know we'll go more into that when we talk about like our story together, but and a lot of it is because I was carrying so much of my own chaos.
This relationship. Well, what's interesting to me is you mentioned so much right now in literally like 4 or 5 minutes, but this is a life. And for anyone that's watching out there, I want you to take a notice of a couple things. Now, number one is she said, and I'm getting like chills as I'm saying this because it's just beautiful. Like she said so much that if you paid attention, you're just like, Oh, damn. And because something in you goes, that's so hurtful and that's so much pain. So I want you to notice that. But I also want you to notice how she said it and she hasn't shed a tear. That's because a healing process has happened. This is the reason why I wanted to introduce to you guys to Tanya so that you guys can see what therapy does, mm-hmm. what counseling does, mm-hmm. what growth, what finding the inner child does. Mm-hmm. My whole purpose is to try to help all of us grow and to develop, especially men, right? I want men that is difficult to say we need help. I want us to figure out a way. And it's a question that I actually asked Rudy prior, in the sense of like, dude, you know, what clicked? But anyways, coming back to it, is what's beautiful is she mentioned a lot, like a lot, that when I first heard your testimony, I was like, my goodness, how can someone go through any more pain than that? Through counseling sessions with you, I've shared this in the past and I'll share it again right now, is thank you. Thank you for going through the hurt and healing, because your pain became purpose to heal me and so many others.
Yes, thank you.
And one of the reasons why Breath of Life has even like helped Cheekies, has helped more, and we're trying to like put it out there for other people. Like my wife and me, we knew. Because you first started counseling me when I was separated from Jackie. And then Jackie came in the picture and I said, hey, we're not going to restore our marriage unless we come into counseling. And she actually liked it and we agreed. We fought many times, but we eventually got to a point where we knew this is so important. Yeah. And then when we wanted to bless Cheekies with some sessions, I told my wife, we can't just do one. I don't know why. I feel it in my heart. It has to be five. And now look at her.
Look at her.
She's in it. And I'm like, that's awesome. So thank you so much for that.
If I can just interject really quick, as you're saying. So I share my story very freely. And now it's obviously another a chapter of my life. That doesn't mean that healing is still not taking place. So in every different season of my life, and right now I'm in this season of my 17 and 18 year old, the Lord will take me back to a place that maybe I didn't process. Some of the stuff I went through, I didn't process because I couldn't process being a teenage mom with my sons almost dying. Like, there is no room for you to sit and cry. You have to be on it. You have to take them to the hospital. I mean, we went to 10 different doctors, and I was at 16 years old driving my sister-in-law's brand new car, learning how to drive stick, having my son in the front seat with a bottle and doing stick, like crazy stuff that I didn't really ever have a chance to process. So now as I continue to walk in where God has me with Breath of Life, he takes me back to those places. And I still believe I am in deep healing. When I share with you, it's just that that doesn't have the impact and the power over my life in the present. So I will go deeper. And so like my son, we're doing university tours right now. And the second one that we did, I was with him alone. First day was great. And second day, I started to go through the classrooms with him and I just got super sad. And I said, what's going on? Like, what happened? And I could see my 17-year-old younger self in the classroom, and all I wanted to do was hug her and say, you got this. Like, you're not alone. And I know that life is hard, but it's gonna get better. But I was processing that emotion with my son on right next to me. Like, I didn't want to like mess up his, you know, his exploration of universities. So I had to ask God to help me through that. And then as he went off on his own tour, I took out my phone and started texting one of my friends. And I'm like, I'm going through this. And this just happened not even 10 days ago. And so I share this because people think, oh, well, that's her past and that's her past. But no, it's still part of what I'm presently healing from. I just know to be in tune with that and not allow it to disqualify me, because I wouldn't be sitting here today if I thought I can't do that if I'm still healing. Like, it's part of my story. Yeah. It's part of all of our stories.
Yeah.
We will not stop healing until we actually get to heaven when there's no brokenness.
That's so good.
So,
which with that, for people, viewers that are watching, I definitely want to ask the question, at what age did you kind of come to this awakening that some type of healing needs to take place?
Yeah, when Rudy was unfaithful to me.
So not even in the first marriage.
No, not even. I was 31 years old when I hit the wall. And so I hit the wall and I finally said, like, God, what do you want me to do? Like, everyone's telling me to leave Rudy. And he's like, I'm going to restore this marriage, but I'm going to start with you. I'm like, with me? He's the one like screwing around. What yeah. about why me? And he's like, because you have been hurt all of your life. And that's what you're bringing to the table. You're bringing pride that's pushing him away. That pride protects your pain. So we're going to start a healing process. Mm-hmm. So that's where in that interruption, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. And now I'm 49. So probably for the last 17 years, I have been going through this healing process, even till today, like I told you. But it wasn't to then. And that's why my life's like journey, or not journey, passion. One of my passions is that people could hear this early on, because I feel like I wasted a lot of my time in pain. Mm-hmm. I know we all have to go through our, we all have to go through our story. But if I would have had someone next to me with this language, I think it would have been less tears. And I still would have learned what I had to learn.
Agree.
It had to drag out so much. And I yeah. think it had to, because I had to really understand so I can then be in the gap for people and walk with them. Yeah. So if at any age, I mean, as young as you can, start being aware of your emotions. And even if you have children, start being aware. Okay, what is that making you feel?
Yeah.
And when you start to be in tune with yourself, then you go through your own healing process. And you may not even have to go to counseling, because you're so in tune with it. You're like, oh, that's what that is.
Yeah. Okay. So. And what I love about that, it's genuinely true. It's when you start asking those questions like, you know, am I happy with myself? Mm-hmm. Is this the man I want to be? Is this the woman I want to be? Coming back to the, you know, you said it was when Rudy, his infidelity, that's where you kind of started looking for healing. Mm-hmm. What did you do? Did you look for a counselor? I kind of want to paint the picture yeah. so that viewers can see the action that needs to be taken behind it after you ask the proper question.
Yeah, I am actually, it's really interesting because I didn't go to a counselor.
Okay.
So the Holy Spirit was my counselor.
Interesting.
And so I didn't have the language. I was not in at all in counseling, or I didn't have a master's or a doctorate. But I started to ask the questions, and I was with my journal, and he would remind me of things of when I was smaller, or he would tell me to do something. And so I didn't go to a counselor, which is really interesting, because that's what I do now. So, but I'm an advocate that if you are a believer and you have access to the Holy Spirit, who's your counselor 24/7, when you start to ask those questions, you invite him into a conversation that then will help you. So I'm just, my thing is just get the healing. If it's that way, great. But a lot of people can't do it that way.
Yeah.
Because they're not aware, or they're like, oh, I don't want to. So then the next step would be is, you know, call a counselor and make sure that the counselor is someone that shares your convictions, your beliefs.
Yeah, very important.
So here at Breath of Life, we do pastoral counseling, professional Christian counseling, which allows me to shepherd your soul to healing. And it's not just me. I have a team of 10 amazing counselors who actually even counsel my own children and counsel me. I always say, man, Lord, you knew that I needed 10 counselors around me that I can process things all the time. And I'm very open about my present day issues with them. And so in that, so we make sure that there's somebody that has that, and that it's not going to come and try and fix you or just diagnose you. Because if someone were to come in and say to me, well, you have a narcissistic personality disorder. Okay, great. Now what do I do? Now sometimes what you do is you use that title as a weapon towards the person that you're trying to heal.
Yeah.
Like in the beginning part, when we did go to counseling, when Rudy and I did go to counseling, that's what the therapist said about Rudy. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's a narcissist. And I started going online and I'm like, oh, he's a sociopath. Who did I marry?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, what if he does kill me and kill my kids? And I went down this spiral. But when you detach that from the person and really see the person being willing to do their work, I mean, that's just a behavior that can then be modified.
Yeah.
And there's really a piece of narcissism in each one of us. So,
going
to someone and making sure that they're not going to come and be the expert in your life. I'm not the expert in your life. You have those solutions. I'm just going to ask you questions and allow the Holy Spirit to connect those dots and say, hey, that keeps going here. There's like rejection, or there's abandonment, or there's something here that let's explore this.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. And then I let you, and you're like, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. But I'm not here saying, hey, I'm Dr. Tanya and you're Mike.
Yeah.
So you need to listen to
me.
Yeah. Because no, you are one Mike. I am one Tanya. We're very different. I'd have to have millions of doctorate degrees to be an expert in your life.
Correct.
And I don't. And I don't want to. Yeah. I want you to be owner of your life and to do the work. So first be, I wouldn't even say wait till you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Do it beforehand.
Yeah.
Like preventative, like yeah. if there are things that, and sometimes it's just that, like a sounding board. But if you really are sick and tired of being sick and tired, like stop wasting life.
Yeah.
You're designed with a purpose, and all of those horrible things that you went through, if you just really start to explore them, they really become a platform where you can live out your purpose. I know that this is what I was made to do.
Yeah.
And this was all part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one thing, guys, I'm going to put on the screen there, you know, the website where you guys can reach. It'll have all the information in the sense of how to reach out, what email address, what phone number. They have so many great tools and resources on their website. One of them I saw the other day said, you know, suggested books. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yes.
That's amazing because it at least gets you to start somewhere without having to commit if you're too afraid. And I say it because I lived it.
Yes.
You guys have a lead program that I've already discussed with my wife. And, mm-hmm. and I'm like, hey, we got to figure it out because I have to sign up to one of these mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. do what I have to do for myself. Mm-hmm. So you'll have all that information there, guys. I do want to also share what you mentioned a little while ago where your healing process was kind of you by yourself with God. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how it happened with me mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. But then what ended up happening is I heard your testimony. And that's where I felt God's nudge say, you need to reach out. Mm-hmm. Because I was definitely trying to heal a lot of things by myself. Like I would literally for like about 6 months, and this is before Jackie, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I had my heart broken and I thought the world was over. Mm-hmm. But for like 6 months, I would go to work, but I would just come back home and just literally stay in my room. Mm-hmm. Yes, I would watch TV, but there would be moments where I would just turn everything off and I would just fall to my knees and cry. And you would think like for 6 months, like that's extensive. Mm-hmm. But in those moments, I genuinely felt God just like talking to me, hugging me. Like I felt so loved, mm-hmm. but I'm aware that that's a tough area to be in. Mm-hmm. However, I would once in a while push myself to be like, fine, I'm going to church today, even though I don't want to. Mm-hmm. And in that situation, that's where I met you. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you guys, when I heard the testimony, yeah, that's when it hit me like, wait, she has to heal. So that's kind of what pushed me to reach out to you and start healing. And initially, it's very uncomfortable. At least it was for me. I'm talking about yeah. Mike uh-huh. because no one teaches you try to heal mm-hmm. or there's an inner child or there's trauma. You just, I don't know what it is in the Hispanic culture. It's just look like you're so weak mm-hmm. if you have to go to counseling. Yeah, yeah. But I'm so glad I did because mm-hmm. as awkward as the first conversations where I'm like, okay, she's asking about my childhood and all this stuff and I'm answering. And you mentioned preventative maintenance. Mm-hmm. So if you are going through a difficult time where you feel you've hit rock bottom mm-hmm. or even if you're not and you think everything is fine, my challenge is to reach out and just have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Because what I do love about it is that, and knowing that you had a Christian base, mm-hmm. and just to be clear, you guys could even do counseling without it being fundamentally in Christ. Yeah. Or
yeah, you don't have to be a believer or a Christian to come see us.
Yeah,
I mean, we have people like that.
Because I have had yeah. people ask uh-huh. me questions like, "Well, I'm a Catholic. Like, I don't yeah. want them to talk to me." And I'm like, they will respect, mm-hmm. and if they have to, I'm not. I don't even know if I'm saying it correctly, where it's like they keep God out because mm-hmm. they have God in. Like, mm-hmm. how can you keep them out? But they'll respect.
Absolutely.
And, mm-hmm. and but for me, the Christian Foundation really helped because it's even helped me to understand the Bible in a deeper way.
Absolutely.
So I thank you guys for that.
Yeah, no, we actually have people that come in. I see people that are Catholic. I've seen people that are Mormon. At the end of the day, my heart is for you to get into a better space and that you are healing and then walking out your purpose at the same time. Yeah. So yeah, call, make an appointment, whether it's with us or with somebody else that you trust as a counselor. And then also surround yourself with a good set of friends that are going to call you out on things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the ones that are gonna be like, oh yeah, you know, she pissed you off. Okay. Then you leave her.
Yeah.
No, it's the ones that are going to challenge those thoughts
yeah.
are the ones that are going to come alongside that when you're depressed, they're not going to just like coddle you. They're going to say, okay, I'm sorry you're feeling like this, but let's go for a walk. Let's go for a run. let's process this. Someone who's really to go in there and will call you out. So I think that's really, really important to have a good set of community, a tribe around you to help you.
Yeah, feel. And I do want to share also, guys, you guys have genuinely been friends for us. You guys are not just our counselors, not just our mentors. Rudy has answered that phone call for me at 6 a.m., 7 a.m. It's challenging. And again, I'm being completely honest, guys. And this is why I'm trying to reach out to men, is because we don't want to reach out. There's times where I'm like, I don't want to call Rudy.
Yeah.
Because Rudy is going to tell me what I'm doing wrong. And I selfishly want that friend that tells me she's being a punk.
Yeah.
She's the one. But Rudy never lets me get away with it ever. And that's what I love. And I strongly also suggest surround yourself with people that call you out on your stuff, not just agree with you, because then we're just we're feeding that flesh. We're feeding that it's not healthy to feed that. It's better when you get called out. Yeah, so thank absolutely. You guys for always being there. Before I close, when you're the founder of Breath of Life, very important, because Breath of Life is something that is helping many people, including myself and Jackie. How did Breath of Life come about?
Yeah, so when Rudy and I were church planting, he was doing his master's in leadership. And so I remember him asking me to read his papers and just edit them.
What were you doing at this time?
At this time, I was working for a lawyer, and I was church planting, and I was raising my kids. Nothing with school. I had always wanted to go back to school, but I had not been in school for 20 years. And when I saw that, I'm like, this is really what a master's is? I love to write. Like, I can do this. So then I decided I'm going to look into a master program to be the best counselor for my church. I thought, okay, well, if I'm going to counsel, people have always come to me with issues. So I go and I start doing it. And as soon as I do, I start to receive, I remember this first couple that came to me. I don't even know how they knew me, but they were going through domestic violence issues in the church. They were youth leaders. And they came.
Yes, guys, it happens in church.
Absolutely. It happens in the church and happens outside the church, because there's humanity.
I share with everyone. Yeah, I'm like, do not judge the Christians more than the ones that are outside, because it happens everywhere.
Yes, it's humanity, and it's because we're broken, right? Mm-hmm. Like what I shared with you, in my story, I just continue to transfer my trauma from one relationship to another. Yep. So it doesn't matter what faith you are. It's going to happen because you're human. And so, and that's when I really felt like God saying, I'm calling you to my church. I'm not calling you to your church. And so I said, all right, whatever that means, God. And so I just continued to study, continued to have people from different places come. I was doing it by myself. I was still in school. And then I did my internship under a church, a Hispanic church, a big Hispanic church in Santa Ana. I think they had like 5,000 members, and very Hispanic, an older church. And the pastor's like, you know what? Our people would really benefit from this. They have to understand that they have to break the stigma behind counseling. So he puts me on this platform in front of everyone and says, hey, she's doing an internship here. Take advantage. It's pretty free. Or if you want to give her a small offering, and start processing. So people started coming. And homeless people that were, because it was a huge church. So you had really poor and really rich and everyone in between. And people just started coming. And I was like, this is crazy. Like Spanish and English. And it was really neat. And so when I was done with my internship, we went to a different church. And I told my pastor, hey, pastor, do you need a pastoral counselor on staff? He's like, I do, but I'm going to do a disservice if I just hire you. I don't want to hire you. I want to give you the key to the office and you do whatever you want. So then I do that, and people from 40 different churches started coming. People from the streets started coming. I remember seeing a Mormon couple come, and they just started coming. And I'm like, whoa, and I was doing really long days.
That's awesome.
And then God's like, I need you to reproduce. And I said, I don't know how to do that.
He's like, so it was already like starting to be born without you even knowing.
Without even knowing. And then I said, okay, I'll do it. And I go and I tell my pastor, this is what I'm feeling. I tell my husband, I tell my pastor. My pastor's like, you have my blessing. You have the key, whatever you need. That next 2 days after that, I go and speak at a women's conference. And I get off the platform and someone wants to pray for me. And she's like, I want to pray for you. And God wants to give you a name. I said, okay, sure. And she said, Breath of Life. So the name literally came from heaven, and I started crying. I said, you have no idea what God has really placed inside of me. And I started, I didn't know how to do any of that. So I just started to ask questions and knock on doors, and God started to show me all these things. And then we launched in 2020. And when I launched in 2020, I launched with an intern that was officially an intern through Liberty University. That intern is someone that I helped, my husband and I helped through their infidelity. And in that, she went to school and now she's in her internship and now she's doing it with me. Wow. Full circle.
Wow.
So that day we launch, we have a blessing lunch, we have all these things happening, and then the pandemic hits.
I was going to say 2020.
2020. In the beginning, I remember the pandemic hit and I said, oh my, and then I was still a lawyer. Like I was still not a lawyer. I was still working for a lawyer. And I knew God had put in my heart that March 1st, I had to let go of that lawyer. And that lawyer was a steady income, regardless if I worked or not. So he said, let go of it because I need you to focus. And I'm like, okay, I'm trusting you. And then the pandemic hit and I thought, oh my goodness, I heard wrong.
Yeah.
No, I did not hear wrong. I mean, the Lord started to bring other counselors that had already studied but didn't know how to integrate it with theology, with the Bible. And so I started to teach them. And it's not about hitting someone with the Bible. Sometimes we don't even use the Bible. We just have to know how we incorporate all of these aspects together. And then teaching people how to be real with their story, because that's it's psychology, it's theology, and life story. And so he started to bring people. He started to show me how to train them, how to mentor them, what to do. And then that first year we did 1,500 sessions. So I went from Tanya to a team of 20. So that was in 2020. Now we are in 2024. I haven't done the numbers yet for the sessions in 2024, but we ended 2023 close to about 4,000 sessions in 1 year. Next week, I think we're going to have, if I'm not mistaken, 120 sessions in 1 week between all of our counselors. There's a lot of need. There's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of hurt. There's infidelity and pornography and suicide and depression and all the things, the grief. And how do you do with all of that? We don't just pray those things off, or we don't just suppress those things. We bring them and we invite people to be part of the Breath of Life family.
Yeah.
And so that we can walk you through that. And that's really how Breath of Life. And today we that's are amazing. Here in Irvine in Covina, and we are expecting to launch an office in Japan. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's simply.
That's news. I knew the Covina one,
yes.
But not the Japan one. Yeah.
So we're just taking it step by step. Again, I'm not qualified for this. I mean, I did go to school to do this. Yes, I'm qualified in those credentials, but I don't have a business degree or anything like that. It's just really taking it step by step and seeing the need. I don't have a strategy of how I'm going to expand.
That's so crazy.
I just ask people to come alongside the
journey.
That's
so crazy.
Yeah.
I can't say thank you enough, Tanya, because as I'm hearing you, I don't hear God's voice audibly, uh-huh. but it's like I feel it spiritually. Mm-hmm. And healthy people, we live in a world where, I don't want to say haters, but maybe that is the mm-hmm. word. There's a lot of haters. Mm-hmm. Like people don't want to see other people succeed.
That's right.
But when you're healthy, you want mm-hmm. other people to succeed. Mm-hmm. Like for example, you've been pushing me for many, many sessions for the Mac Effect.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to succeed.
Absolutely.
And I'm hearing you, and because I'm healthy, I'm like, heck yeah, dude, succeed, grow. And everything you just said right now, like really just hit me in my heart because I sometimes don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't know what's next.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what's going to happen next month. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, I only have this and I only have that. But one thing that I've learned is if God says go,
that's right.
Go.
That's right. And you invite people into the process with you,
yeah.
right? And people love the fact that you're vulnerable and you say you don't have it all put together. I think that is, I don't know if you call it a secret sauce, but if you want to say a secret sauce, that's my secret sauce. I don't have it all put together. I will process my vulnerability on real time. Sometimes I'm like, wait, God, let me process. He's like, no, you need to process it with these ladies
yeah.
or with this group of people. And so then you invite people to be part of your story. And as you do, you start to activate the gifts in them. And you don't know, but somebody from the audience might be like, hey, you don't know what to do, but you know what? I was thinking this. And then you start to collaborate and create these amazing ideas.
Yeah.
And that's really how you're able to do and grow and
that's
be all
crazy.
That God wants you to
yeah,
be. You don't have
crazy.
To have it all put together.
I was actually praying about that today in the morning. I felt so overwhelmed because I'm like, I have to do everything. Mm-hmm. I have to do everything. And I even told Jackie before I came, I said, God gave you your people even before you started.
Yeah.
I'm like, where's my people?
Yeah.
So if you're out
yes.
there, this is why God is telling. And I didn't plan to say this, But if there's anyone out there that wants to come and help and join, let's do it. But Tanya, before we close it, how can people find you?
Yeah, so on Instagram, you can either find me on Dr. Tanya Paniagua or Breath of Life Foundation. You can also call us at 949-236-7420, and our team will be able to help you with whatever your needs may be. And then you can find us at breathoflifefoundation.info online.
Yep. Yeah. And as I'm learning, guys, everything she said, I'm going to do my best to add it right there on the screen so that it makes it easier for you guys to just hit pause, also screenshot it, do whatever you have to do. But I promise you guys, you will not regret it. Mm-hmm. If you take me for the challenge in the sense of reach out, see what happens. Yeah. And then you don't know what God can do.
Yeah, Mike, I'm so proud of you. To see this like this makes me want to cry, because you went through a lot of hurdles, mental hurdles, emotional hurdles to get here. And so I know that God has done, you have done the work, and God has seen you through it so that you can be an inspiration to others that so many times want to disqualify, men and
Thank
women.
You.
So
Thank
I'm
you.
Proud of you.
And I'm still kind of like in shock, because you can see me, like, you know, talk to the camera and all this stuff. And I've shared it in season one, first episode. I hit record and I just start crying as I'm speaking into the microphone. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just, it's kind of like what I said earlier about you. Like, do you guys see she didn't cry? You see that I'm not crying, but it's crazy what healing does. That's so right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning in for the Mac Effect. I appreciate it. Next week, we're going to have something really special. So don't forget to tune in, guys. Thank you. Mac Effect out.